You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
Read the scripture. I want to say is that, think about this now. I want to pose something that's going to help you. If only half of the children that went to school came out of school and they basically only half of the children could read one word, or let's put it another way, if half of the children left school and they couldn't read one word, we would say that's failing. If half of the people that went to hospital, half of them died. No matter what they went in there for, they died. It would be a tragedy. We would say, something is failing. If half of the airplanes that took off landed safely, only half. Now, how many agree with all of those scenarios? You would say, there's something wrong. Amen? Look at someone and say, there's something wrong. That's the reality. Now, I want you to think about this. In our world today, when we look at relationships and marriage, the statistics are, they fluctuate a little bit one way or the other way, but the statistics tell us that only 50% of marriages last. Something's wrong. Say something's wrong. Only 50%. And so what we understand is that when we look at relationships and marriage and families, we're seeing that something is wrong by the mere fact that, you know what? The way that people are getting into relationships, it's not keeping them through the whole course. And what we're understanding is that dating is not working. That's the reality. Dating is not working. When we look at marriages, when we look at families, if I was to ask how many people here, you grew up with your mum and dad and they're still married, if they're still alive. If we was to ask for a show of hands, I know, amen, someone put their hand up, hallelujah. But if I was to ask for a show of hands, it'd be less than 50% of the people in this room. Dating is not working. And I want to read this scripture. Some of you are pushing back on that. I don't want to hear this. But you bear with me and we're going to help you. Songs of Solomon 8 verse 4, it says this. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, do not stir up nor awaken love until it pleases. Read it again. Charge your daughters of Jerusalem, do not stir up or awaken love until it pleases. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace and your mercy, your love, your kindness. Speak to us. Help us in this place today. Father, we pray for a clear word from heaven. Father, I pray that you would break down our preconceptions, and I pray that you would install with us a new spirit, Father, to be successful in relationships. We pray most of all that Jesus would be magnified, and all God's people said, we're saying that there's a system that's not working. Now, I want you to think about this now. Dating is not working. It's just not working. Because we can see relationships are failing. But let's ask this question. Why is it that dating is not working? And I want you to think about this. I've got I've got my model here. My assistant. Beautiful assistant, I might add. And so, what is dating? Well, let's think about when you go on a date. First thing you do is usually you dress up. I mean, you dress up. And so, you ladies, you get your hair done. You've got a new hair. Amen. A new hairstyle. That's what I meant. A new hairstyle. You've got your makeup on. You've done your eyebrows, your nails, maybe lashes if you're into that. And so, we're not against all of that. Go for it. Amen. Amen. And so, guys, they you dress up. And so, already, you're dressed up and, you know, you're not how you usually look. This is not how you usually look. This is, what you're doing is you're not showing yourself how you're going. How many know that when you go on a date, that's not how you look when you wake up? If they turn up like that, then we already know there's something wrong. So, there's one, is how you dress up. The second thing is the place that you go to eat. And so you go to a nice place, you're in a nice restaurant, and so you're having a good time. And so usually this is not where you're actually eating. You don't eat here all the time. This is not where you go every day. You don't take someone to KFC. How many know you don't take them to KFC? Ladies, if you've been taken to KFC, you needed to hear this sermon. You needed to hear this sermon desperately. And so here we have, this is not normal. This is somewhere different that we don't usually go to. The second thing is just you and the person that you're there dating. And so you're looking to find out, is this the person for me? Is this the person for me to spend the rest of my life with? Is this the person that I'm going to actually be linked to for the rest of my life? But in any other course of life, if you was going to make a serious decision, you know what you usually do? You bring someone else with you. If you're going to view a house or a car, or you're going to get involved in something that's going to be really serious, what do you usually do? Especially if you haven't been there before, especially if you haven't bought a house before or bought a car before, usually you bring stuff. But in a dating environment, this is what it is. We're all dressed up. We're eating food that we usually don't usually eat. We're in a place where we usually don't usually go. And so this is really how dating is, this environment here. Maybe there's a bit of music playing. Maybe there's a little bit of light here, a candle here, and all of that. And you feel romantic, and you start to feel feelings. And what you're doing is you're putting your best foot forward. That's what you're doing. How many know that's what you're doing? Basically, you're trying to show all your good side, not your bad side. How many know that's what's being achieved here? Now, I want you to think about this, because I just wanted to put this here so you think about what a date is. This is what a date is. And so when we talk about dating, this is the mindset that many people have. Now, I go on dates with my wife. We go on dates. But when we're talking about dating, it's when your whole pursuit of finding somebody and a relationship is built around this concept. Do we understand where I'm going? Amen. You can sit down now. Give her a round of applause. What I'm saying is this, is that this is not real life. This is not real life. This is not day to day. This is not what it's all about. And what happens is many people, they live for this. This is all they're thinking about. And if this is not real, what happens is that anything that's not real, we call it what? Fake. Many times, dating is reproducing this fake thing, but you're trying to make life decisions about it. I was talking to this guy recently. He's not saved. It's a business thing. I was talking to him, and so he was telling me. He says that where have you been? And he was telling me that he's been to Vegas, and he was telling me when you go to Vegas, is that what they do is in the casinos they pump more oxygen into the air. In Vegas, they're pumping oxygen into the air. And those of you that know about, sports people and all of that, and the cardiovascular system, is that when you pump more oxygen into the air, you feel more alive. You feel less fatigue. You feel more energy. And I was like, oh, why are they? You know, it's not like they're going to be running a race. He says, no. So they feel less tired. So they stay longer at the slot machines and longer at the casino tables. Why do they want them to do that? Because they want them to spend more money. They're creating this environment, but there is an agenda at the end of it. This is many times what dating is. You're trying to put your best foot forward. What you're trying to do is you've showed yourself, you've dressed up, you've created this thing, and you're trying to trick this person into falling in love with you. That's what we... It's very silent. I like them silent. Even pigeons stopped outside. This is what dating is you're trying to trick somebody into falling in love with you. You're trying to show them one side of you that you want to show. You can't trick people to really love you. You can trick people to kind of love the imaginary you. If I go to the shop and I buy an iPhone 7, I can't keep up with it. I think 7 is good. I think that's a new one. If you buy an iPhone 7, I go to the shop. The guy shows it to me. I'm like, yeah, I want to. When I get it home, if I open the box and there's an iPhone 4 in there, Or even worse, there's a Samsung in there. There's a Samsung 7 in there, or whatever it is. I'm still disappointed. How many know that I'm vexed now? I wanted, on the box, you told me, on the box, I saw it's an iPhone 7. When I take it home, I open the box, I see there's something else. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put that thing back in the box, and what I want to do is I want to return it. That's fake. You've given me something. That's false advertising. Many times, this is the foundation of where people build their relationships. The foundation is wrong. No wonder 50% of the relationships don't work if you've built it on a trickery, if you've built it on false pretenses, if you've built it on a charade or a charade or theatrics. Then when it gets to the substance, when we get married and we go through life, we realize, wow, this is very difficult. See, I'm not saying that it's wrong to go on a date. I'm saying that dating, when you're trying to find someone to share your life with and you've made it this, that is where you're going to be disappointed. See, the system is not working. It's proven in itself that, you know what, this thing is just not working. Dating as a system, we need to move away from. And the title of this sermon, if you looked in your little brochure that was given out, the title of the sermon is Healthy Courtship. And what we want to do is, as Christians, we want to exchange dating for courtship. And if you are able to make this transition, I really believe that this is going to help you to find a successive relationship, to build a successive relationship. Let me give you some illustrations about what's the difference between dating and courtship. Dating is when you're looking to create an illusion to find love. Courtship is when you are seeking the truth. What we're talking about here is someone that dating is like, okay, we're just going to date and, you know, maybe we're going to fall in love. And courtship is that, you know what? No. I'm searching to see whether you are the person for me. Dating is when you go into this relationship, but you're trying to get something out of the experience of dating. You're trying to get something out of the experience of the dating. And so the dating has to be fun. And if I'm having fun, then you know what? This is good. But courtship is different. Courtship is not about just the experience. Courtship is, I need to find whether me and you are compatible. That's the difference. I need to look at this relationship and say, are me and you compatible together? This is the most important thing. Not are we having fun right now. How many know you can have fun with people for a little bit, but then you wouldn't want to live with them? That's the reality. We're talking about the difference between dating and courtship. Dating is where we look good together. We're taking selfies together. We put it on our WhatsApp. We put it on our Instagram, Snapchat, whatever it is. I don't know how that works, or if it's used, or if I said it right, but there you go. And so together, we're together, and we're together here, and we're together there, and you look so good together. That's dating. Dating is the most important thing about dating. Don't we look good together? You've got her. Look how she looks, bro. When your brothers see you, when your mates see you, it's like, yeah, bro, man. That woman looks fine. And so you go up a notch, because look at the woman I can get. Oh, don't we look fine? He's got his muscles. He's got his six-pack. He's getting out of his BMW. Praise God if you have a BMW. But she's getting, you know, and now it's like, yeah, your man's got money. You got a man. That's my man. So now you feel good. So basically, dating is about us looking good together. Do you know what courtship is? Courtship is not just do we look good together. Can we do life together? Can we do life together? Because, can I tell you, some people look so good together, but they can't do life together. There are some people, listen, if we was to see the picture of them together, we'd be like, boy, that couple look good. But if we was to follow them home, we turn invisible. And we followed them home. And we, as soon as they shut the door, we'd be like, boy, no. You didn't show me this on Instagram. You're not Snapchatting this deal here. Because dating is all about us looking good together. But courtship is about, you know what, can we do life together? What this speaks about, are we going in the same direction here? My wife was telling me the other day, she got an Uber somewhere, and the guy was asked, you know, my wife always witnessing to everybody, to invite the guy to church, and tell him about the church, tell him about Jesus, and he was like, oh yeah, my mom's a Christian, but my dad's a Muslim. How many know that? I don't know what happened there. Maybe they're both Muslim. One got saved. Maybe one's that. I don't know what's that. But how many know that there's division in that house? How many know there's no Akbar, amen? How many know that? How many know we're not doing jihad outreach? Listen, there's something, you know, and so listen today. Hey, you may look good. She looks good. You look good. But if she's bowing to the east, and you're praying, you're preaching the gospel. Can I tell you, no matter how good you look, you're not together. You can't do life together. You're not on the same page. You're not going in the same direction. See, I want to tell you, successful relationships is not about looking in each other's eyes. It's not about, you know, it's about looking in the same direction. Are we going somewhere? Because, listen, you could do this all day. You ain't going nowhere. We can't. How are we going to look in each other's? How are we going to get home? How are we do anything? It's about not about looking in each other's eyes all the time. Are we looking? You need to look what they're looking at. Sister, you need to look what he's looking at. What are you looking at? No. Why are you looking at that? Too late after you get married. What are you looking at? You need to look at that now. This is what courtship is. Can we do life together? Do we have the same values? Do you value the things I value? You may value calling, brother. You may value the call of God on your life. You may value doing something for God one day. You may value your Bible and living for God. You may value, I need to get to heaven. That's what I need to do. Can I tell you, I value that. I need to get to heaven. Yeah, I'd like some money. I would like a nice house. Yes, I would like some nice clothes. I would like all of those things. But above all of that, I value getting to heaven. So if I don't get those things, I got to get to heaven. Do they value that? Because if they don't value that, they're going to be dealing with you. You're like, hey, let's go to church. They're like, I'm tired. Come on, I'm tired. You'll be like, oh, look, I want to tithe. They're like, no, we could go on holiday with that one. Don't have the same values. You want to pray. They're like, why are you always praying, getting up praying? I'm always hearing it, rubble shine every night. Why do I have to pray? You come home, they're listening to, I don't know, Beyonce, watching Beyonce, shaking it, wiggling it. You're like, good gosh, I don't want that in my house. I don't want my kids seeing that. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. You should be there. We don't have the same values, man. We don't have the same values. Do you have the same convictions? You know, I have no major opinions on this thing, but I was reading a book recently about a few different politicians and the way that they think and all of this. And when I was preparing the sermon last week about healthy people and speaking about the sociopath and all of these things, and so they spot that a little bit in the book. He was speaking about when we went to war and they were looking for these WMDs, these weapons of mass destruction. That was that deploy. That was that. There's weapons of mass destruction, you know. And we was like, yeah, okay. Yeah, well, we got to deal with that, man. We don't want no weapons of mass destruction hitting us. So, yeah, we got to go in and do it. And so they go in there. Under the thing is that we're going there to look for weapons of mass destruction. They get there, we're like, we ain't found no weapons yet. Okay, they must have hid them well. Let's keep looking. Keep looking. From today, we still ain't found no weapons of mass destruction. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't have or we should have. You can work that out among yourself. geopolitic genius. But what I'm saying is this. This is how many people enter into relationships. On the promise that I'm going to find this thing I'm looking for. This thing, this character, this person of character, this person of strength and integrity, this person that can love through all good and bad, you know, this person that will weather the storm with thee, this man that will stick by me, this woman that is loyal, and we're looking for that. And the problem is, we never found it before we went in. We've gone in and now we're still searching for it, and it's been years. See, the difference between dating and courtship is dating at the end of, and see, we've got to be real now. How many, we need to be real. I know we're in church and we're not used to being real here, but we need to be real now. Yeah? So let's just keep your, take your halo off for a second. Let's put it in your pocket and you can put it on when you get back out. This dating thing, as a woman, as a guy, you take her out, you pay for a meal. At the end of the night, you're looking for something. See, I know you didn't want to be real in this house today. But I'm just going to... Because this model, I know Christians try to keep this model, but at the end of the night, we're going to pray and take you home. And there's nothing wrong. Listen, but this model wasn't... We don't get this model from the Bible. This model was given to us from the world, and we just try to change the ending of it. Come on, keep it real. Listen, I knew about this before I came to church. That's what I'm telling you now. So this model was built up. So we, you know, there's only two of us here. The lights are low. The candle's there. She's looking good. I'm looking okay. You know, the food is nice. The ambience is nice. And so here we are. And so, you know what? Chemicals are doing things. In your mind. In her mind. There's a glint in her. This is what it's about. And at the end of the goal of this is sexual. It may not be, listen, I'm not saying every Christian that goes to Nando's together. Like, because we just destroyed some single brother's thing. Like, he just said, hey, sister, you want to? No, the pastor said. No. I'm not saying that. We're saying the model. Remember, the model of this. The end of this is sexual. So dating, this dating concept that people have, the goal of the dating concept is sexual. The goal, the end game of courtship is marriage. It's marriage. That's the end of courtship. Is that, you know what? I want to find out whether you are compatible for me. And so, I'm going to discover, get to know you. But the reality is, I'm not trying to create this thing. This is why, remember what we said is dating, the goal of dating is sexual, the goal of courtship is marriage. This is why there are people that are not ready to get married, but they'll still date. You ask people that are dating, if I was to say, how many people there you've ever dated, hands would go up. If I was to say, how many of you said you're ready for marriage right now, not as many hands would go up. Then why was you dating? Because when I was saying that this is sexual, you was pretending like I don't know what you're talking about. See, because a man and a woman, I don't know what age or however, whatever, but we get to a point where we start to become sexually aware. Boys like girls and girls like boys. And we become sexually aware. And then what happens at that point, this is when people start to talk about, let's date. Now, you ain't ready enough to be getting married. You know, primary school, people invoke this thing out of their children. Who do you like? Is that your girlfriend? Huh? You got no business talking about no girlfriend. You better do your homework. Huh? You better get ready, man. You better start saving. Because listen, house expensive now, it's going to get no cheaper. That's what I wish someone told me when houses were like 20,000 in Battersea and now they're 20 million. But that's a whole other sermon. See, the danger is that this is why you don't court until you're ready to get married. Bro, if you ain't ready to... Bro, are you ready to get married? No, I don't want to get married yet. No problem. Just serve Jesus. Build your life. Get your head down. Start to accumulate some stability in your life. Praise God. When you're ready, you start rolling. Sister, you ready? No, I'm not ready to get married yet. No problem. But people that are not ready, people just start dating. And people that say, yeah, we're dating. Are you ready to get married? Oh, maybe in 4 years. 4 years? 4 years? Please. People do it all the time in the world, Pastor. I know they're doing it in the world. They're actually doing something more than that in the world. This is the problem when things become sexual. Is that you no longer can see clearly. Remember, let me put this down. Dating is about creating this atmosphere of attraction and this false concept of who I am, and then maybe tricking someone to fall in love with this. That's what dating is. Courtship is eyes wide open. Are we compatible? We can court, and sometimes people find, you know what, we thought we were compatible, but we're not. No problem. We shake hands, we go on our way. But this is the thing. Once things become sexual, you no longer see clearly. You no longer see clearly. See, when things become sexual, the way that your mind is, the way that God wired your mind, you're not going to see things the way they are. Let me prove it to you, because maybe there's a little bit of resistance there. In the advertising industry, there's a phrase, sex sells. That what they've learned is this, is that if they want to sell some chewing gum, they can get an attractive, slim woman walking on the beach in a bikini, and as she's eating the chewing gum, men want it more. Listen, advertisers are not just trying to promote modeling. They don't spend money if it's not proven that it works. What they realize is, even if you didn't want the chewing gum, once you see the woman who's sexually stimulating, you want it. If you've ever looked at any car shows, many times there's a beautiful woman standing next to the car. Because the reality is, sex sells. Once sexuality is added to it, it becomes nicer. When I was a consultant and we would do designs and we would speak to the client, and the client would say, we're like, what are you looking for? And the clients would say this ain't nothing to do with, this is to do with lighting a shop or a clothes shop or something. And they would say, we want a sexy scheme. Give us something sexy. They didn't mean naked women, but what they were saying, something that's more attractive. So here we have the understanding that advertisers have figured out that sex sells. That means sex makes you want things that you really didn't want. Here's the danger. Sisters in this place, ladies, if you make yourself, you're in a relationship and you sexualize yourself by wearing tight clothes or exposing parts of your body, and you've made yourself sexual, that guy is going to want you even though he don't want you. Even though he don't want you, he wants you. See, this is the reality. Oh, he wants me. Yeah, he wants you. But when he gets you, he might realize, listen, I actually don't want you. Bro, you were like, oh, yeah, I like the way she dresses and everything's tight. Woo! Fine. But the reality is, bro, what you thought you wanted, you actually find out, I don't want you. This is why before you enter into this relationship, when you're dating and things become sexual, this is why half of the marriages fail. Because people thought they were buying an iPhone 7. Some of them ended up with a Nokia. I used to love Nokia, man. Let me close with this. Let me just close. I want to say to you today, sexuality, or no, actually, let me get straight to the point. Sex is more than just a physical thing. Sex is more than just a physical thing you do. This generation, there is an anthem of their of how they see things, and the song was, you know, I'm not into making love. I'm into having sex, because like sex is just this physical thing. Just like when you ride a bicycle, you jump on a bicycle, your legs move, the bicycle moves, you get off it. Like sex is just a physical thing. The movies tell you that. They slept together. Oh, we slept together. The music, we slept together. And it's just like sleeping together is nothing big. Even the word, we slept together. It's almost like, oh, you know, we're just mates. We slept around each other's house. It's like it was nothing. We slept together. We was in the bed. We had sex. It's nothing. It's just a physical thing. But I want to tell you, the Bible actually says, no, that's not the case. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18 says, flee sexual immorality. The word flee means avoid. Do everything you can to not go near sexual immorality. Sex before marriage is sexual immorality. If you're married, having sex that you're not married to is immorality. Man with man is sexual immorality. Woman with woman is sexual immorality. This is what the Bible says. It says, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside of his body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Do you not know that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your bodies and in your spirit. The Bible says, listen, I'm not here saying, listen, bro, sis, don't have sex because you might get pregnant. I'm not here to say, listen, don't have sex because you know what? You could catch a disease. Those things are very true. But the Bible says, no, don't commit sexual immorality because you sin against your own body. When you enter into this thing, it's not just a physical thing as the world tells us now. Listen, the reality is that's propaganda. Most of the music and the movies and what's going on today is propaganda. Telling you what the world wants to tell you. But deep down, let me tap into something that's a bit deeper than what the foolish media can reach. We know that sex is more than just physical. You know why we know that? Because when someone is raped, we say this is terrible. Worse than being punched in the face. If someone was just kidnapped for a day, we would still say rape is worse. When someone is raped, it violates the very being, the very fabric. Something about them has been taken. Now, if sex is just physical, then it would be no different than a slap in the face. But it is different. And I'm not belittling this horrific event. If people have experienced it, what I'm saying is it proves to us that sex is more than just a physical act. God designed sex. And let me tell you this. God made it. But sex is relationship glue. That's what sex is. God made it. It's not like Adam and Eve just started doing it and God goes, what are you doing there? My days. Stop. Well, I guess if it works for you. No. God designed it. God is the orchestrator, the inventor. God placed the pleasure in it. God placed all of the feelings, the emotions, the chemicals and everything in it so that man and woman, when they come together, he says, this thing is relationship glue. This thing is to stick you together. This thing is to bring you together. The Bible says when two come together, when two are married, they become one. Sex, that's what it's used for. It's meant to be God's relationship glue. This is why it's so deep. It connects your body, but it also connects your mind, and it connects your spirit or your soul, should I say. You know, a few years ago, well, many years ago, I used to people always talk about soul ties. And people ask me, what do you think about soul tie? What do you think about soul tie? I'm like, you know what? I don't see the word in the Bible. So if it's not in the Bible, I don't get involved in it. I don't tell you things of my own opinion. If it's my opinion, you can take it or leave it. But if it's Bible, you've got to listen to it. But I will say this, is that sex is relationship glue. And the reality is, if you have sex with somebody, then there's something about them and you that is stuck. You know, when we had the Christmas carol concert, the choir, they did their thing, and it was a good time. It was a wonderful time. We did it in just before Christmas, I believe it was, in York Gardens. And so my wife, she likes to be creative, and she creates these little things. She gets ideas. Why don't we have this? And she said, you know, I want to do this thing where I put frames, and it just says Christmas along the back. And I was like, okay, babe, you know, I'll help you out. So she got the frames, and we got the glue, and, you know, she's at home cutting things out, and she's sprinkling stuff. So she's creating this thing. But what happened was, one of the letters, she put the glue on and stuck it on, but it was wrong. And then what we had to do is, was like, okay, let's, oh my days, it's wrong. We stuck it on there. What are we going to do? Okay, let's try and take it off. And as we took it off, it was tearing. And we tried to do it, and the letter was damaged, and even the back thing was damaged. And we had to go and buy a new back frame and make a new letter. I want to say to you today, don't apply the glue till you're sure you want to stick it. See, the problem is there are many people, and they've gone through life and they've stuck themselves to people, and now they're still trying to tear them off. And you may be like, yeah, but you know what? I don't even see him anymore. Inside, you're still trying to tear him off. Yeah. You know what sister's got? Listen, all men are dogs. She's not really talking to us. She's trying to tear him off. Because I ain't a dog. Your man was a dog. But you should have seen he was woofing when he came here and said, listen, I can't be sticking to you. No, keep your glue in your pocket, bro, because you ain't sticking nothing to me. You know, this is like sellotape. You know when you have sellotape, you ever use sellotape, you stick it onto something, and then you stick it onto something else, and you stick it onto something else, and you stick it onto something else, and you stick it onto something else. As it keeps going, it gets less and less adhesive. It gets weaker and weaker. These are people that sleep around. Bro, you might be a gallus in this place. You might be Mr. Rowe. You might be a ladies' man. But what's happening is you're becoming less and less sticky. This is why after the next woman, you need another woman and another woman and another woman. Me and my wife, we like tea. I don't drink coffee no more. Sometimes we get to the last tea bag. But, you know, we both want the tea. So I have to go get one, that thing. I just squeeze it in one cup, squeeze it in another cup. Hey, it's good to go, man. I did it for my wife the other day. She didn't even notice. She said, I know there's only one tea bag. I just brought her the tea. She thought I sacrificed for her, man. I went in the other room. But I told her. Yeah. But listen, that can work with two. But imagine one tea bag trying to give us all tea. By the time it gets to you at the end, you'll be like, this is madness. This is crazy. Bro, keep sleeping around. Because one day you're going to want to give yourself to a woman, and she's going to be like, why is this not working? What's happening here? What's going on here? Something is missing inside of me. This is why, listen, do you know, many women, they regret their first sexual act. They regret it. Most women regret it. I'm not making this up in my head. Many women, because it was sordid, it's someone's car. Around some little schoolboy's house, and his mom comes, around the back of the school. Yeah, you're like, This is the real deal. Most women, they regret. Because now, remember what the Bible says, he that sins sexually sins against himself. Most men, they sleep around. What you realize, and if you're honest here, bro, is that you lose respect for that woman. There's something about before, she was nice, she was this, and you do something, and it's like, I just want to go. I want to leave the house. I want to get out of the house now. I don't want to. Something's missing. We've defiled something. we've made something wrong. Even the you smell her perfume, it's like, oh. And women are like, why is it? Before, here, he was so nice to me. And he said this and forever. And now I'm calling him and texting him. And I see him with another woman. What's happened here? Because when you sexually sin, you sin against yourself. There's a stain. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Listen to what it says here. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Unrighteous, not right with God. He says, he's going to tell you, these things are not right with God. If you do them, you're involved in them, you're not right with God. And then he goes on and says this, do not be deceived, because what he's saying is, some people are going to tell you that, yeah, you can do that and you're okay with God. They've deceived you. There's going to be a spirit of the age, music and entertainment is going to tell you, no, that's old fashioned. He says, listen, don't be deceived. He says here, neither fornicator, having sex outside of marriage, nor idolatry or adultery, having sex with someone when you're already married to someone else. Nor homosexual or sodomite. And then he says this in verse 11. Flip to verse 11. He says, and such were some of you. He's speaking to the church in Corinth and he's saying, listen, some of you did this. Some of you were involved in this. Some of you live like this. But then he says this, but you were washed. See, there's a stain. Sexual immorality leaves on people's lives. Some men, they become addicted to pornography even after they get married. The wife is sleeping, and they sneak downstairs to look at a fake woman. My days, you're looking at a fake woman when you have a real woman upstairs? You're bound. There are some women, even after they get married, and it's all righteous now, but now they don't want to be intimate with their husband. They keep pushing him away. She keeps telling him, oh, dude, if it was like this, if it was that, if it was this, if it was that. And he's doing all of these things, jumping through all these hoops, and it's still, it's like, what's the matter? Because there's a stain. But the Bible says this. In the church in Corinth, he says, listen, you guys have been involved in certain things that God said no. He says, but when you give your life to Jesus, He will wash you. He will wash you. I don't want to be graphic here, but you could have been the worst, nastiest, disgusting thing on this planet. But if you will give your life to Jesus, He will wash you. He will wash you. He will remove every stain of sin. This is what the gospel is. This is the good news. That I don't have to walk around feeling ashamed that someone's going to find out what I did. I read an article the other day in the BBC. There was this woman, and I don't know what all around. She's Italian. She created some type of sex tape. I don't know what she was doing. And so it goes online. It starts to go viral. She's fighting in the courts to get it removed. It won't be removed. You know what she did? She committed suicide. She killed herself. Felt the shame of this thing. Can I tell you, I wish I could meet that woman before and say, listen, you don't need to kill yourself. Give your life to Jesus and He will wash away the stain. And it doesn't matter what people see. God will see you pure as pure as pure, because Jesus' blood removes stains. And it doesn't matter what you think or what you think anymore, because when I die and stand before God, I stand before my Maker as white as snow, because He has made me pure and He has made me holy. And this is the message of the gospel. Today, do you want to be made pure? Do you want to be made whole? Do you want Jesus to wash away that stain of sin? This is what He wants to do. He wants to set you aside. He wants to wash you. He wants to make you His. He wants to bring you in. He wants to remove all of the stain. And if you're here and you're already a Christian, read in the scripture, listen, He paid the price for that purity, Christian. Today you're pure. You're living your life for God. You've given your life to Jesus. Don't go back into the world. Christ paid for that. He actually says, you now belong to me. So I'm the one who's going to tell you how to court, how to behave, how to be a woman of God, how to be a woman of respect, how to be a woman of virtue, how to be a woman of value, how to be a man of God, how to be a leader, how to be a man, women respect, kids respect, a man that will build this community and do great things. This is what God wants to do, but we have to allow him in. Today, we need to have healthy courtship. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.